This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. A jury in Washington, D.C. has decided Rudy Giuliani must pay two Georgia election workers almost $150 million in damages. The former mayor of New York City and Trump attorney was already found guilty of defaming the women. CBS's Michael George has more on the verdict tied to lies about the 2020 election.
After deliberating for about 10 hours, a jury awarded Ruby Freeman and Shay Moss $148 million in damages, payable by Rudy Giuliani. That's more than triple the amount asked for by their lawyer.
The absurdity of the number merely underscores the absurdity of the entire proceeding, where I've not been allowed to offer one single piece of evidence in defense.
Giuliani repeatedly said he would take the stand, but never did, and his attorney presented no case.
Giuliani says he will appeal. The Israeli military says it mistakenly killed three Israeli hostages in battle-torn part of Gaza. BBC's Mike Thompson reports.
Since the war in Gaza began, the Israeli military has dedicated itself to bringing the hostages home. Now the bodies of three of them have been returned, killed by the soldiers sent to save them. The IDF said that after mistakenly being identified as a threat, the three had been fired on. Only later were their identities discovered. In a statement, the IDF expressed its deep remorse over the incident and sent the families of those killed its heartfelt condolences.
CBS's Stacey Lynn reports on the sentencing for the mother of a boy who police say shot his Newport News, Virginia elementary school teacher earlier this year.
Deja Taylor was sentenced to 5 years in prison with 3 years suspended for felony child neglect. It was a harsher punishment than the 6 months prosecutors and Taylor's lawyers had agreed to in a plea deal. Her attorney earlier this month.
I don't think that took into account her being the victim of domestic abuse. Her mental health issues.
Her son was accused of shooting his first grade teacher, Abby Zwirner. Prosecutors say her gun was used in that shooting.
I just respectfully disagree with Judge Papillo.
Stacey Lynn, CBS News.
There apparently were some quality control problems at Moderna's main factory, CBS's Alexander Tin reports.
According to a Reuters report, Moderna, one of the manufacturers of the COVID-19 vaccines, was faulted by FDA inspectors back in September for some lapses in its verification processes for quality control, including reportedly falling short and taking extra measures to ensure that expired materials weren't used in making its vaccines.
The Congressional Budget Office projects lower inflation and higher unemployment into 2025. On Wall Street today, stocks closed mostly higher. This is CBS News.
You don't need a job platform. You need a hiring partner. Indeed lets you schedule and conduct virtual interviews all from one place. Start at Indeed.com/credit.
Wendy's Peppermint Frosty and Frosty Cream Cold Brew make the perfect gift for anyone in your life. Especially for you. Yeah, this year you're sitting on your own lap and getting yourself what you want. Finally. And if you need a little more pep in your step, get yourself a refreshing Peppermint Frosty Cream Cold Brew. Or you can give it to your mom. Whatever.
Limited time only. Participating U.S. Wendy's. Vanilla Frosty is temporarily unavailable.
We're making spirits bright at the JCPenney Super Saturday Sale. Hurry in store this Saturday for a coupon giveaway while they last. You could get $10, $100, or even $500 off your entire purchase. Doors open at 9 a.m. so you have more time to shop thousands of doorbusters store-wide. Discover can't-miss deals on top brands like Adidas, Levi's, Disney, and Cuisinart. Wrap up your list in one easy trip. JCPenney. Make your holidays count. Coupons valid on select styles 12/16 only. Exclusions apply. Giveaway in-store only. Must be 18 or older. See store or jcp.com for details.
Serving central Wisconsin since 1940.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids.
Victor deployed for the first time to Afghanistan in 2003. At 4 in the morning, my phone rang. They said, "I regret to inform you that your husband was wounded in action." Victor sustained a moderate traumatic brain injury. I was doing school full-time, and I was also then caring for Victor. One of the most important elements of caregiving is taking care of yourself. I just didn't want to forget that I also had goals and that I also had a life. What I did is I challenged Victor to meet me halfway. There are almost 6 million military and veteran caregivers across the nation. We have our own journey, and we can fulfill that journey at the same time that we are helping our loved one.
Visit aarp.org/caregiving for a free military veteran's guide to navigate your caregiving journey and better care for your loved one and yourself. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Locally grown radio from Vesper to Plover, we are your home for news, talk, and sports. 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. For tonight, a cloudy sky, maybe a little drizzle or mist, and lows in the mid-30s. And cloudy for tomorrow with on and off rain showers, highs in the low 40s. A mostly cloudy and slightly breezy day Sunday, near 40 for the high. Sun's back but blustery Monday, high in the mid-20s. It's 39 right now.
Locally grown radio, your home for news, talk, and sports from Rudolph to Nakusa. 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
From the Civic Media Radio Network, moving Wisconsin forward one joke at a time. This is As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
And so it goes, and so it goes, and so it goes, and so it goes.
In for the new mom, here's Jane Matinair.
Good morning, and thank you so much for joining As Goes Wisconsin. Greg Bach is with me in the studio. Calvin is on the board, and we always love to hear from you. You can call and or text at 844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY. And if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter, you can leave a comment there as well. Lots and lots of things going on.
Jam-packed show.
Jam-packed show. Dane County judge handing a victory to abortion rights supporters yesterday after ruling that the 1849 abortion law does not prohibit abortions. So that ruling could eventually be appealed to Wisconsin Supreme Court, which recently flipped to liberal control after the election of Justice Janet Protasiewicz. Coming up at 11:30, we're very excited to have Michelle Velasquez of Wisconsin Planned Parenthood is going to be joining us to talk about what this means and what's next and where this is all going, how this is all going to play out over the next few months. So that's big news. Also big news this morning, Governor Evers just about, I want to say 20 minutes ago, vetoed the Republicans' bill banning gender-affirming care for LGBTQ youth. Evers said on Twitter, "I promised I would veto any bill that makes Wisconsin a less safe, less inclusive, and less welcoming place for LGBTQ folks and kids. I keep my promises."
Thank you, Governor Evers.
I think this is a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
Wisconsin Watch goes into a little bit more detail. Gender-affirming care is doctor-prescribed treatment endorsed by every major medical association in the United States. Peer-reviewed research has shown that social transition and medical care like puberty blockers and hormones that were targeted by the bill actually improved the lives of those with gender dysphoria. In Wisconsin, transgender care for kids is prescribed with the involvement of medical professionals and parents, does not involve the use of medication until puberty, and does not, in most cases, involve surgery until they reach adulthood. So I think there are a lot of these fallacies that are being promoted by some on, yes, we're doing top surgery on 9-year-olds. That's not happening.
Nope, that's not true at all. Absolutely untrue.
Also in this article that I'm looking at here, a coordinated conservative and Christian nationalist movement has fueled the deluge of misinformation. Wisconsin's ban that was introduced by Representative Scott Allen of Waukesha mirrors legislation from the right-wing group Family Policy Alliance. Family Policy Alliance strives to conform all levels of government to a biblical worldview.
Oh.
844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Governor Evers, just moments ago, 20 minutes ago, vetoing legislation put forward by the Wisconsin GOP that would ban gender-affirming care for youth. Is this a good thing? Is this a bad thing? Does the government belong making these decisions? Again, I go back to parental rights. I am the parent. I get to decide what my child reads. I get to decide where my child goes to school. I get to decide, except in this instance when the government is going to decide for you that they know better.
Yeah, and correct me if I'm wrong, 12 years of Catholic schooling, nearly 10 years of youth ministry. I don't think we ever covered that chapter in the Bible, which this group wants to conform the country to, about gender reassignment, gender-affirming care, trans status, who you are. You know, there's nowhere, it's like Ephesians says, thou wast born a man, you are a man. If you're a lady, too bad. It's the Bible.
Well, and I also think there are all these misconceptions, and if I have gay friends in my life, I know several transgender people.
Mm-hmm.
If you posit to them that they realized they were gay after they read a book, or they were influenced to become gay by reading a book, they all laugh.
Yeah.
That's not how that works.
And on the other side of the coin, if you have friends who are in that community, gay, however they identify, trans, remember just how happy they were after they realized who they were and came out and told the world, this is who I am, and I am proud of it. Their life gets better. There is so much mental health wise that goes into this. And I mean, I just saw a video today, a very innocuous video that said, remember, the rainbow wasn't about gay pride. It's about the promise that God made to Noah. I'm like, these are the types of things that tell kids not to come out to their parents because they're afraid. And then they harm themselves, or they can harm themselves.
Yes.
The rates of self-harm amongst the youth
and queer suicide
is abominable and shameful. This is a good thing. Thank you, Governor Evers. And for those who are spreading disinformation, just simply go to the American Association of Medical Colleges. It is a very accredited website, and it'll give you everything you need to know. And you might still not like it, but that's the truth, and you don't get to make up your own truth.
844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. If you want to call in or text on this, Governor Evers just vetoing this morning Republicans' bill banning gender-affirming care for LGBTQ youth. Again, Wisconsin Transgender Care for Kids involves medical professionals and parents, does not involve the use of medication until puberty, and does not, in most cases, involve surgery until they reach adulthood. And there, again, this misinformation about we're doing top surgery on 9-year-olds and a 7-year-old can just walk into a doctor's office and say, I want to be a boy.
Yeah, that's, yeah.
That doesn't happen.
No, 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 but if a kid wakes up in the morning and goes, I want to be a boy, it's like, well, you wanted to be an astronaut last week, too. But let's talk about it.
Right.
Why do you think you want to be a boy, or that you are a boy? You know, like you said, this is a parental issue. This is a privacy issue. This is a family issue. And we do not belong in their homes as a government. They need to make these decisions.
Parental rights.
Exactly.
844.
Unless
we don't like that. Unless we don't like what you're doing
exactly,
as a parent.
Then
we're going to step in you do the right thing.
I had a great idea. I'm going to tell you how to raise your kid.
There you go.
Also going to burn books.
Karina is on the line from Milwaukee. Good morning, Karina. What do you think about the governor's vetoing of this measure this morning?
Well, I think it's a right thing to talk about it, and it's right thing to talk about it on the government level, not on the religious level, because I honestly don't know how God intended for us to look like, okay? Because, if you're going to look at the angels, his first experience, they're all asexual or bisexual, if you want to. So it shouldn't be even tied up to the religion. And if you wanted to tie it up to the religion, then you have to go into a love aspect and trust and not living in the lie. Because if you don't feel that you're living your best, then you're living your life. And it's a depression. It's a mental health issues. It's a suicide. it's a drug addictions and the general unhappiness. So we are, even by religion, by God, if they want to use it, we're given a free will as a people. So we should be able to use it.
You got a point there, Karina. Yep.
And also, don't
thank
forget,
you so much for calling.
And don't forget also the high rate of young queer youth, specifically trans youth, who are living without a house,
who are homeless or couch surfing,
exactly,
because they can't live at home.
Exactly. We got a message on the live stream from our good friend Mr. Joseph McClear. Kudos to the governor. The GOP has made it clear that they don't care one bit about the health and safety of trans youth. It's good that somebody does. Thank you, Joe McClear. I was going to make a joke about, I mean, like, his law firm should be like, just don't make it clear. Make it McClear.
Oh,
that was dumb. It was dumb. Terrible. Well, don't answer me, Joe.
Joe, if you're looking for a advertising consultant, Greg is available.
Don't hire me.
This just reminds me, because we had talked about this months ago, Greg. And do you remember Grandpa Bob?
I will never, ever forget Grandpa Bob.
Grandpa Bob called in when we were talking about this, and it was one of his grandchildren. Mm-hmm. Was LGBTQ.
Nicola, I believe.
And he just shared basically what we hear from other people is that once his grandchild started getting the correct care and treatment, mm-hmm. this kid blossomed.
Yep.
Blossomed.
Yeah.
And he was so emotional and so lovely. I will never forget when he called in and was just, you can't take this care away from these kids.
Yeah. I mean, you could tell. And, you know, the best part about it was listening to him. You were listening to a man who clearly had to do his own thinking on what he believed in the matter. You know, there are a lot of parents out there, and kudos to them, great to them, who can be like, it's my kid, it's my grandkids, I love them no matter what. It's a struggle for people, especially older people, to understand.
Sure.
But you could see that through the struggle, he realized this is my grandson. I love him no matter what, and I want to see him happy. And the fact that he made him happy, he had me and Jane in tears.
Yeah, we were both a mess.
It was beautiful, and we need more Grandpa Bobs in the world. We want Grandpa Bob to go out and tell the good word, and that is, accept them. They're your kids.
They're our kids. Exactly. Well, kudos to Governor Evers for today.
Yeah.
And stay close. I want to remind you, Kristen Bry is going to be joining us at 10:33.
What?
Yes, the new mama is going to be joining us, as she does now Wednesdays while she's on maternity leave, from 10:30 to 11 o'clock. We're going to do the good, the bad, and you did what on the witness stand? Really? Really?
I couldn't help it. I was hungry.
Yeah, okay, that's fine. And if you want to check in on this, 844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY. Thank you. Stay with us. You're listening to As Goes Wisconsin across the Civic Media Radio Network.
Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
Anybody who's ever breastfed a child knows that breast milk is liquid gold. Preserve it at all costs.
Oh, that's what Kristen was talking about. Yeah. Freezing it, like pumping, freezing. She's like, I have bricks of it. I'm like, this sounds like a reboot of Breaking Bad. Like, this is
in the breast
breaking
milk
breast.
Bracket.
Breaking breast.
Well done.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Brock. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Your hometown news talk and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Good morning. Welcome to As Goes Wisconsin. Jane Matinere in for Kristen Bryan. Greg Bach with me in studio. Calvin is on the board. And we always love to hear from you at 844-967-2789. Shout out to everybody in Wisconsin Rapids this morning, listening on WFHR Homegrown Radio and on WGBW in Green Bay. Thank you. Thank you for joining us. All kinds of stuff is breaking this morning.
Gosh.
It's been kind of crazy. Now, thank you to our new stringer, Joe McClear, on a live stream, letting us know that Kevin McCarthy, former Speaker of the House, is now out of the House.
Whoa. I mean, that's not surprising. Come on.
No.
No, he's gonna do the same thing that Boehner did. He's going to go. He's going to retire.
Write a book.
He's going to write a book where he's going to seem way more less crazy than he tried to purport himself to be. And he's going to not be bothered by...
by politics, and become a lobbyist.
Yeah, I mean,
speaker.
Yeah, probably go on the
speaking circuit.
He'll join some board of directors, write a book, go on the speaking circuit, become a part time pundit. You know, he's gonna take that, you know, 6-figure salary and ramp it up by like 2 more digits.
Probably.
Yeah.
Well, good luck, Kevin.
And thank you very much, Joe McClear, for the heads up there. Don't just be clear, be McClear.
Oh, coming up next hour at 11 o'clock, we're going to be talking to UW-Madison Professor John Martin. He's going to join us to talk about how climate change is affecting the hardiness zones all across the country. So this determines what you can plant and mm-hmm. when you can plant, depending upon where you are in the state or yeah. in your part of the country. And things are changing so much that the hardiness zones are changing now. So Professor Martin is going to join us at 11:06 to talk about that. At the same time, a story in this morning's Wisconsin State Journal, 2023, officially the hottest year on record. The analysis found this year's global temperature more than 1.4 degrees Celsius warmer than pre-industrial levels, close to the 1.5 degree threshold in the Paris Climate Agreement, and beyond what scientists say human and ecosystems can adapt to.
Do you know what I feel like? December 8th, 6th, 2024, we're going to be like, scientists have said that 2024 is the hottest year on record. It's just going to keep getting hotter. I mean, it's 33 degrees right now in Waukesha on December the 6th. It's supposed to be in the 50s this weekend.
I know. It's supposed to be 50, I think, on Friday.
Yeah, and that is just bonkers. And what really... really grinds my gears is that the big argument of either climate change deniers or people who are like, what's the big deal? It's just a few degrees. That's their argument. It's just a few degrees. That's the entire Earth heating up by a degree or two. That is bigger than you can comprehend. That's bigger than I can comprehend.
Right.
I just know to be worried because the smartest people in the room on this matter are worried.
Well, and let's not forget... and obviously not everyone is as involved in the news as we are
yeah.
and read necessarily as much news. But the number of massive climate shifts, the storms,
yeah.
the sea changes, the hurricanes, the flooding, the fires, all of this is interconnected.
Yeah. California spent the majority of 2023 on fire.
Yeah. Canada.
Yeah.
Remember Canada?
I mean, this summer, and that's something, so if you live in Wisconsin, if you're listening to this in Wisconsin, you'll remember that somewhere around June, there was a nice orange fog over the whole
yes.
area.
Because of the fires.
Because of the wildfires. And now they're saying, get used to that. This is going to become a regular thing. This is not a one-time deal because these fires aren't going anywhere. And I think I mentioned a long time ago, the old adage of the National Park Service was always only you can prevent
forest fires.
Now it's only you can prevent wildfires because that's the bigger problem. And it's almost like, yeah, this is what we're getting used to.
This is our new normal.
Because we won't do anything about it.
And you also have to love the politicians who will stand on the chamber, whether it's at the state level or whether it's in Washington, and they'll hold up a snowball,
ugh.
You know, in the middle of a hearing and say, well, we got snow. That proves there's no climate change.
because there's nothing different between climate and weather, you overpaid hockey puck.
And the other thing I think people need to keep in mind as well when we talk about climate change and the number of people on the move, the number of people trying to immigrate to other countries, a lot of this is tied to climate change.
Mm-hmm.
Either it's drought or flooding, or it's so hot they can't grow anything anymore.
Yeah.
And they're trying to get to better circumstances so they can feed their families and live. And until this is addressed, we are going to see more mass movements across the globe as certain areas become less and less habitable.
And the thing, too, is we're coming into the realization now. This is not a statement on me, on recycling, from me saying I'm anti-recycling. I recycle. I got a big blue bin. But this notion that they put it into our heads that if we just separated our plastic bottles, this will make the difference. No, those plastic bottles are on a big barge in the middle of the ocean. They're in a garbage dump. Nothing's being done with them. This is holding those committing these environmental crimes responsible. And those are the big companies constantly pouring smoke, oil, poison into the air and the water. And they get away with it. They get tax breaks. They walk away. Oh, we started a foundation. We're fine. No, they're the reason why this is happening. And it's unfair that we're the ones who be like, if you don't do something about it, Jane, singular Jane, out of 8 billion people on this earth, we're going to be doomed.
It's going to be your fault.
Yeah. You didn't separate your ones and your sevens on your in your bin.
And how disappointing was that to find out that after we've been doing this for so long, that really kind of turned out to be a hoax, too, as far as what they were able to recycle and how effectively and efficiently they were able to recycle things.
I remember feeling guilty if I saw a can in the garbage. Like, that shouldn't be there. What's going to happen to the earth?
Well, we're not saying don't separate your stuff and you should still recycle. But
please do that.
We got a ways to go.
Yeah.
All right. When we come back, Kristen Bry, the new mom, will be joining us. We're going to do the good, the bad, and you did what while you were on the witness stand?
I'm sorry. It was due tomorrow.
Stay with us. You're listening to As Goes Wisconsin across the Civic Media Radio Network.
From Wisconsin Rapids to Stevens Point, your news, talk, and sports is 97.5 FM, locally grown radio.
My name is Juanita Segura, and I was diagnosed in November of 2014 with non-small cell lung cancer. The first time I heard about biomarker testing was actually my husband. He just started researching about lung cancer.
And I found out about biomarker testing, and I'm like, why not? Let's try it.
I'm Dr. Jorge Gomez, thoracic medical oncologist at the Mount Sinai Hospital. Comprehensive biomarker testing is looking for either substances in the blood or mutations in some of the genes of the cancer cells that can help us identify special types of lung cancer that can be treated with what we call targeted therapies.
Letting my children know brought all of us a sense of hope. To give them hope that mom is going to be around to see you grow up. And I promised them that.
Ask your doctor about how comprehensive biomarker testing before treatment may help you and your doctor decide on the best treatment for you. Visit noonemissed.org for more.
A public service message from Longevity Foundation.
From the hometown of NASCAR's Dick Trickle, locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM, your news talk and sports station.
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
Stop surfing the dial. You've found the greatest station ever. Locally grown radio 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Saturdays at 1, don't miss Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring legendary Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Football, life, and fun.
Earl, you've been driving a Yugo. They just gave you a brand new Ferrari with turbo boost. So enjoy it, brother.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Saturdays at 1 on the Civic Media Network and on the Civic Media app.
Are you looking for more in this world? Are you ready for something bigger? Then we are looking for you. The big-hearted, the bold, the messy and the gutsy. The teachers, the growers, the builders. The skilled, the sharers, the change makers. We need you. We are the Peace Corps. In more than 60 countries, we go all in and all out. We are volunteers, partners, communities, working together, living together, bringing our experience, passion, and joy to building a better world together. From tackling climate change in Mexico to keeping kids healthy in Kenya, from sustainable farming in the Philippines to education in Kosovo, we learn more, give more, share freely, and serve boldly. Are you ready to tackle the tough stuff? To go the distance to make a difference? Then we have a place where you belong. Join us at peacecorps.gov.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. For tonight, a cloudy sky, maybe a little drizzle or mist, and lows in the mid-30s. And cloudy for tomorrow with on and off rain showers, highs in the low 40s. A mostly cloudy and slightly breezy day Sunday, near 40 for the high. Sun's back but blustery Monday, high in the mid-20s. It's 39 right now.
Good morning. Welcome to As Goes Wisconsin. Thank you so much for joining us. Jane Matnier in for Kristen Bride. Greg Bach with me in studio. Calvin is on the board. And some big news came down yesterday. A Dane County judge handing a victory to supporters of abortion rights yesterday, ruling that that 1849 Wisconsin law does not prohibit abortions. And we're so happy that she was able to join us last minute. She is with Planned Parenthood of Wisconsin. Michelle Velasquez is our guest. Thank you so much, Michelle. I'm sure you guys have been very busy since this was announced yesterday. So thank you for joining us.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
So what does this mean, Michelle? This decision by this judge in Dane County, what's going to happen tomorrow? What's going to happen next week?
So, you know, this decision is really what we at Planned Parenthood of Wisconsin were anticipating. And as many folks know, we resumed abortion services back in September. And we did that really based on this judge's some prior decisions and rulings that came out earlier this summer that are really consistent with that final ruling and order yesterday. But just because Planned Parenthood of Wisconsin resumed doesn't mean that this decision doesn't have major impacts around the state. It absolutely does. What this decision does is, you know, hopefully provide providers and healthcare systems around the state with the reassurance that they can now treat their patients with the full scope of reproductive and sexual health care without fear of prosecution. And that's really the most important thing, is that people have access to this really essential health care. As far as what happens next in this case, it will really depend on whether any of the defendants decide to appeal this court's decision. And I'm sure that we will know more about that in the coming days and weeks. I know that one of the defendants, the district attorney, Joel Ermansky from Sheboygan, issued a statement indicating that while he respects the court's decision and will, of course, abide by that order, he intends to appeal that decision. So that's his stated intention, and we'll see what the coming days and weeks bring with that.
I think it's really important for people to remember that under this 1849 law, there were no specifics as far as how close to death a mother had to be in order for them to say she needs this procedure to save her life. So none of those specific things were codified. And at least to me, that's what made this so immensely dangerous, because there were no parameters, right? There were no parameters, no solid parameters for our medical professionals to work within.
That's absolutely right. So this law was originally passed just a year after Wisconsin became a state, before women could vote, before the advances in medicine that we see and know today. So obviously it's a very antiquated and archaic law. And even with that exception, physicians around the state during that sort of year in a few months post-Dobbs, before Planned Parenthood of Wisconsin resumed and before this court's decision, really grappled with what does this mean. And so the impact of that, you know, because some folks would say, well, there's an exception and you can provide an abortion to save a patient's life, but at what point is it legal? And so that really had this chilling effect. And we know that abortion bans and heavy restrictions lead to terrible health outcomes for the pregnant person, and disparately impact Black women and other women of color as well.
Michelle Velasquez is our guest. She's with Planned Parenthood of Wisconsin, talking about the decision that was announced yesterday by a Circuit Court Judge Diane Schlipper, essentially saying that the 1849 Wisconsin law does not prohibit abortions. And as you were saying, Michelle, at least in the Wisconsin instance, there were these exceptions for the life of the mother, but they were never codified. I think it's crucial for people to recognize in states like Texas, and where they have no exceptions for rape, incest, or the life of the mother, there are horrifying stories coming out of these states about women being told at 4 months that their fetus is not going to be viable. It lacks whatever, you know, it lacks a brain. Its lungs are not developing. And they have to carry that to term.
Absolutely. Bans and heavy restrictions make pregnancy even more dangerous than it already is. I think there's this sort of idea that, you know, pregnancy isn't really a big deal, and you carry a child for 9 months and then you have a baby and everything's great and lovely. And, you know, for some people that's certainly the case, but pregnancy is actually statistically a more dangerous than obtaining an abortion is. Abortions are safe. They're, you know, people, it's an outpatient procedure or a procedure done just through the use of medication. And so it's healthcare, and you're right. There are states where there's no exceptions. Wisconsin, under that 1849 law, only had an exception to save the life of the pregnant person. Again, exactly what that meant, we didn't know. There were no exceptions for rape or incest, no exceptions for other dangerous health conditions. Sometimes the fetus is incompatible with life outside the womb, as you were mentioning. And so it's really just forcing people to continue with pregnancies that are non-viable and that are going to negatively impact their physical health, and also forcing people that have carry pregnancies assume the risks, even in situations where the person has already determined, I am not able to care for this child, regardless of existing health conditions. They have made a choice for themselves that they cannot, for whatever reason, have a child. And so bans and restrictions obviously put people in positions of having to carry and have children that they would otherwise have not had.
I keep thinking of this one particular case in Texas, Michelle, where, again, her fetus was not viable. She was going to have to carry it to term. Ultimately, I think she got sepsis and ended up having to get a hysterectomy, which meant that she could never have any more children. And when she tried to join a lawsuit against the state of Texas, they essentially said, well, you no longer have standing in this because you can no longer have children.
Yeah, it's absolutely mind-boggling. And I, you know, wish I could say I'm surprised, but I'm not. We've seen, you know, this is really a culmination of 50 years of really strategic activism from the anti-abortion, anti-choice movement to chip away at abortion access. And right after Dobbs, one of the attorneys in that movement really publicly stated this was the midpoint. The longer term goal is to ban abortion nationally. And so we see this happening even in places like Illinois and Minnesota, where abortion has always remained accessible and legal post-Dobbs. We see this in the form of these federal lawsuits that challenge the FDA's approval, for example, of mifepristone, which is the drug used. It's the first medication used in a medication abortion. It's the medication that I think about 98% of all medication abortions use. That's the first drug. And then there's a second medication called misoprostol, which can be used on its own. Mifepristone is the preferred regimen. And we see these lawsuits at a federal level really challenging, again, that medication, which could undo and create sort of a more tangled web of accessibility in states that have chosen to remain safe, accessible states.
Well, and I find it so interesting, too. And I mean, originally, the whole argument was states' rights. It has to go back to the states. Every individual state should decide it's states' rights. Until now, we have some presidential candidates who are going, oh, no, we want to do this nationwide. So that whole premise that this was a states' right issue just got tossed out the window.
Yeah, I mean, the Dobbs decision certainly would indicate that the idea is that this goes back to the states. But yes, you're right. We certainly see folks who would like to ban abortion at the national level. And, you know, sort of similar to the 50 years of sort of leading up to the Dobbs decision, there will be continued challenges to existing laws or protections, such as the mifepristone, for example, just sort of a gradual attempt to chip away at the accessibility that there is, which is why I always tell people restoring access, protecting access, and expanding access is a marathon. There has to be a really long-term strategy. This isn't going to happen overnight. And we have to remain sort of poised to continue in this fight for the long term, certainly here in Wisconsin. I'm sure other states obviously as well. And this case and decision yesterday, I know it is a long time. It's over a year since Dobbs. We're almost at a year and a half. And it is something that we're celebrating. We're thrilled. And we know that it's not enough because Wisconsin essentially reverts back to the legal framework that we were providing abortions in prior to Dobbs, which was very restrictive. It is very restrictive. Wisconsin is considered one of the more restrictive states pre-Dobbs. And so there's still a lot of work to be done. We don't have a enshrined state constitutional right to abortion at this point. We don't have a statutory right to an abortion at this point. And we have just a slew of laws and regulations that make accessing that care extremely difficult.
Going back to something that Jaina just said about politicians and whomever wanting the national abortion laws, something that I've been noticing, in especially in the Republican debate, Nikki Haley went on record as saying that she wasn't for it based simply because the improbability of getting it through all the way. And I feel like that, like, I see a lot of politicians not really saying, there's someone who danced the line really well, because we're seeing individual states like Kansas pushing back, saying, no, we don't want what you're trying to push. And it just seems to me that the pushing of a national abortion ban is just, it's going to be so much harder than, I don't know how to frame the exact question, but like, these politicians, it just seems like they really just want it, but they're lying about it on the podium, essentially.
They would never lie.
I know. They're so nice.
They would never lie.
Yeah.
Michelle Velasquez is our guest from Planned Parenthood of Wisconsin, talking about the decision yesterday by a circuit judge in Dane County that the 1848-1849 law does not affect abortion. Michelle, do you have the time to stick with us through the break?
Sure.
Wonderful. I got a couple more questions, and I want to go back to, especially you're talking about, there are still lots of hoops for women in Wisconsin that they have to jump through in order to get this health care. So we'll talk about that a little bit more specifically when we come back. Stay with us. You're listening to As Goes Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network.
America is kept safe because the Army National Guard responds, protects, and supports our nation when it needs them most. From fighting wildfires with air support, helping civilians in flooded neighborhoods, to delivering food and supplies to those who have lost everything, the Army National Guard always responds when disaster strikes. The Army National Guard also trains to be ever vigilant against threats, foreign and domestic. They protect our skies with missile defense weaponry. They secure our information, communications, and infrastructure with cybersecurity. And they protect us against chemical, biological, and radiological hazards with the civilian support team. The Army National Guard also stands ready to deploy and provide support for conflicts or humanitarian missions abroad. Join the Army National Guard and be there to respond, protect, and support your community and your country. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
From the home of the Cranberry Blossom Festival, your news talk and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Welcome to As Goes Wisconsin. Jane Matinere in for Kristen Bry. Calvin's on the board. Greg Bach with me in studio and joining us on the stream from Planned Parenthood of Wisconsin. Michelle Velasquez is our guest, and we're talking about yesterday's decision by Dane County Circuit Judge Diane Schlipper that the 1849 Wisconsin law does not prohibit abortions. And we were talking just before the break, Michelle, that there are still many, many steps that women have to go through in Wisconsin before they are able to get an abortion, correct?
Absolutely.
And what I mean, there's still a waiting period, right?
Yeah. So, you know, for example, there's a 24-hour waiting period. So what that means is someone comes in for an appointment, it has to be in person. So they couldn't do a first appointment by telemedicine. They have to go in, see the physician. And the reason they have to be in person is because the law requires a physical exam. It requires an ultrasound, even if the ultrasound isn't medically necessary. There is state counseling that's mandated, and that is a script from the state that is physicians are required to go over with the patient. And then the patient will need to come back at least 24 hours later for their appointment. And so realistically, the appointment isn't going to be exactly 24 hours later.
Right.
It may be later that week. It might have to be the following week, depending on schedules. If the patient is obtaining an abortion through the medication, they have to see the same physician that they saw for that first appointment, which makes it really difficult to provide medication abortion services, particularly in more rural areas where there are just frankly, there's fewer people, so there's fewer physicians available, and there's even fewer for women's health. Those are just a few examples. Another major barrier is the cost of an abortion. And so people's insurance, depending on the source of it, may not be able to pay for that care. So if anyone is receiving a form of state Medicaid, whether it's Badger Care or a form of state Medicaid called Family Planning Only Services, none of those would be able to
cover this.
The abortion. If you are a public employee and you are receiving your insurance from essentially the government as your employer, right? That insurance could not pay for an abortion. If you buy your insurance on the Affordable Care Act marketplace, that cannot pay for your abortion. So there are these financial barriers, which are really significant. And, you know, sort of statistically, I think we're around 63% of people in this country couldn't cover an unexpected cost of about $500
right,
or more. And so that is just the reality that people are living in. So those are just, you know, some of the barriers that people face trying to obtain what is routine medical care.
As you were going through those hoops that women have to jump through, all I could think of was, I would love to see how a man would react if he went in to see his doctor for whatever and had to go through the same amount of hoops in order to get health care. The outcry would be unending. You're going to do what? I have to come back in 24 hours. What? I'm not capable of making my own decision. What?
Absolutely. There's no other form of health care that's really regulated and restricted like abortion care is. The other thing I wanted to add is that advanced nurse practitioners also cannot provide this care. So they're not doing the initial consult with the patient. They're not providing the medication. And this is Wisconsin. This looks really different in other places, particularly
sure,
our neighbors in Illinois and in Minnesota. And permitting advanced nurse practitioners to sort of practice under the full scope of their license, which they prescribe medication in every other scenario, except for like really specific types of controlled substances, permitting them to use the full scope of their license would be another way to expand the availability and access folks have to abortions.
And I think it's important for people to keep in mind, and I had done an interview with Wisconsin Right to Life probably 35 years ago, and they said then that the goal was to ban contraceptives, all contraceptives, ban all abortions, and that will also then spill over into IVF and those kinds of treatments as well. Don't think they're not still gunning for that stuff, to ban that stuff. That is part of the overall goal.
Absolutely. I think, you know, this is about abortion, but it's about so much more. It's about these fundamental rights that we should have as human beings to control our own bodies, to control our futures and the course of our lives. And that includes contraception, that includes who we want to marry. And these are the sort of privacy rights that the Dobbs decision really sort of calls into question. And I know that, you know, in the decision, some of the justices sort of said, well, we're not talking about those things. But Justice Thomas was not shy about saying, well, actually, this could apply in those scenarios as well.
Right.
It's not so long ago that contraception was, you know, very, very regulated as well. Women who were not married couldn't obtain it. Women who were married couldn't obtain it without their spouse's permission. And that was in the 60s and early 70s. So it's not that long ago that contraception itself wasn't particularly available to everybody. So those types of things are not necessarily settled. The other side is absolutely coming for those access to contraception as well. And so that's why I say, again, this is a marathon and not a sprint.
Thank you so much again, Michelle, for taking time to join us today. I know there's been a lot going on. Michelle Velasquez from Planned Parenthood of Wisconsin has been our guest, talking about yesterday's decision from the Dane County Circuit Court. Really appreciate it. I know we will talk more as the months go on. So thank you again. Stay tuned. The news is on the way next, followed by the wonderful Todd Alba program from noon to 2 o'clock. Keep it close. Keep it here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
They can't catch me, 'cause I'm too strong. They all want what I got, never leaving me alone. I ain't gonna break for that, I'm a Wonder Woman. Watch out, watch out. I ain't gonna take all that, I'm a Wonder Woman. Watch out. Hey,
a tree can be a warrior, battling global challenges with greater courage. A tree can be a solution, cleaning our air, supporting our communities, and protecting our wildlife. A tree can be noble, growing hope in every corner of the world. That's why now is the time for trees. Millions of trees. Join our planting movement at arborday.org.
How do you locate a support group, professional association, or local organization? United Way's 211 will provide the answers to these questions and more. 211 is your connection to programs and services in Central Wisconsin. Dial 211 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. In this ever-changing world, it is often hard to find the program or service you're looking for. United Way's 211 can assist you locating services. 211 is free and confidential. Trained referral specialists will help you get connected 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 211. Every day, people begin a difficult and sometimes desperate search for programs that can provide assistance. United Way's 211 is there to connect you to the programs and services you need. For non-emergency information and referral services, call United Way's 211 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 211. With thousands of programs in the database, they can assist you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 211.
Sports allow us to play, learn, and grow. But there's something more important than victory. At the U.S. Center for Safe Sport, we believe every athlete deserves to be safe. Safe from abuse and misconduct on and off the field. We equip athletes, parents, coaches, and others with the right education to recognize, prevent, and respond to harmful behavior. Join the movement to champion respect and end abuse at uscenterforsafesport.org.
So, have you done sports?
Yes.
What about weather?
Done that.
I've got it! The moon!
Hey everybody, you're listening to James Help Seth pick the next theme for this week's Seth Faces the Music. It's on Sundays from 6 to 8 p.m. on locally grown radio, WFHR. The problem is, he's done so many shows already, it's getting tough to find the next group of songs. Don't worry though, it'll be fine.
Yeah, alright, you got me, I give up.
That's it! The theme for the next Seth Faces the Music will be...
Locally grown radio, WFHR programming, is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios. Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
The morning show on WFHR. It's informative.
Have neither of you been on sleigh rides before?
Yeah, never. No. I've never been on.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I've been on like dozens. Oh, my gosh.
We gotta do it.
And I don't even like winter.
What kind of life are you living, Seth?
He was way up in the... He was in the, like, really...
Northern Minnesota, yeah. I mean, come on.
Every neighbor has a sleigh in their barn.
Big words from someone
WFHR,
from
Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248 DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.